you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It happens to be May 15th, 2009. Thanks for dropping in. So yesterday I opened the show realizing that the Obama administration, in a word, sucked. Well, I've pretty much come to the conclusion that just about everybody on Capitol Hill is the same way. It's one of these deals where we've got people who represent, we've got a representative government, right? You go out, you ask most people, what type of government do we have? Well, they say, well, we've got a democracy. Well, this country has a democratic form of government, but in fact, it's a republic. We have representatives in front of us that are there to look over our interests and our freedoms. But it is a republic. Remember the Pledge of Allegiance? To the republic for which I stand, not to the democracy for which I stand. So there's a lot of things that the government entities, the government figureheads, would try to get you to believe. That it's a democracy. In fact, it's a representative type of government. It is a republic. So how we decide that someone's going to represent us is really up to the way that we want to, get things accomplished, the laws we want to pass, the way that we want the servitude of our representatives to be had. Now, back in the day, it used to be in the Senate, you had really the elitists. It was wealthy white landowners were the only ones allowed to have a voice as a representative. That's the way it originally was. The founding fathers saw sure to make sure that the people that had the most interest were the ones who were actually being represented. Now, that was at that time in the country, 230-some years ago. At this point in time, we've got the majority of Americans not being represented on many issues. Ask the majority of Americans, do you want to have freedom of speech curbed? The answer is going to be no. Would you like to have freedom of religion curbed? The answer, overwhelmingly, is going to be no. Do you want the freedom and the right to keep and bear arms curbed? The vast majority of Americans are going to say no. But yet we've got politicians not listening to us. The people that are supposed to be representing us, have they been representing us? No. They've been representing themselves and the special interests that give them money. And what does that turn into? It's turned into things such as the Clinton-era assault weapons ban. I'm so sick of that term. Some anti-gun scumbag came up with the term assault weapon back in 1988. And it has gotten so deeply rooted into American culture now in the last 21 years that it's almost impossible to get rid of it. It would be like getting rid of the word monopoly when created over this game, right? Today, what we're going to talk about is our freedoms, our rights, our liberties, and the way that the founding fathers meant them to be. And we're going to go around the country a little bit, see what's going on. And also talk, when we get back, about the term assault weapon. Again, my term would be counter-assault weapon. And really, what the deal with these guns are. What all the hoopla is all about. So stick around. After the break, we'll be right back.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break. Okay, the term assault weapons was created by some anti-gun person group. I forget who. I have the information somewhere. Back in 1988. And it was created to define scary-looking legal civilian weapons, essentially to profile guns. So if they have large-capacity magazines, which large capacity in the definition of the anti-gunners would hold more than 10 rounds. So if it holds 11 or more rounds, then that would partly qualify to be one of these assault weapons. If it has a flash suppressor, that's at the end of the muzzle, so when you shoot, there's not this really big, bright flash if you shoot indoors or at night. If it has one of those, that's another prerequisite. Oftentimes, bipods. Now, these are also going to be semi-automatic guns, not the fully automatic version that the military wants to use, the semi-automatic version, right? And oftentimes, they'll have like a bipod attached, not always, but sometimes, oftentimes in a little concealed vertical handle. But the real problem of what's missing on these assault weapons, as it were, would be the ability to fire fully automatic. Now, the anti-gunners always use the term automatic weapon to try to get the ignorant millions in America to believe that they are fully automatic. You would actually see Senator Dianne Feinstein holding an AK-47, a real-life, not just a movie prop AK-47, a real-life AK-47, and waving it back and forth, pointing at the crowd back in the 90s when she was trying to get this assault weapons bill through. Finger on the trigger, pointing back and forth at a crowd, looking down the muzzle as she's waving this gun around. Absolutely demonstrating what not to do with the gun. Now, was this all planned out? You bet your bottom dollar. So as scary as these semi-automatic version of these fully automatic military guns might be, as scary as they might look, they're being created to be demonized because of their look and that they're semi-automatic. They say high rates of fire. Well, I got to tell you, I can press the trigger on my lever-action rifle and run the action just about as quick as I can press the trigger on my semi-auto. Not quite as fast, but pretty darn close. I can run my pump shotgun just as fast as I can run my semi-auto shotgun because I trained. So it's not really a version of the action. So what is it? It's the look and the fear that they create. They talk about these high-power rifles. I've got to tell you, just about any rifle that you can hand to me, Mr. and Mrs. Anti-Gun, and tell me that this is an assault rifle by the way it looks, I can show you a much more powerful rifle and show you quite honestly how wimpy in comparison to rifle ballistics that this quote-unquote assault weapon really is. The U.S. military uses an M16, and that's chambered in 5.56 millimeter, also widely regarded as the .223, right? Now, the 5.56 and the .223 do have very, very slight differences. There are differences, but essentially, for all intents and purposes, it's the same round. Very, very weak round. I've known a few people who will actually go deer hunting with that caliber, but these are guys that are pretty good shots. That's a pretty weak round. 55 grains in weight. Keep in mind, it takes 7,000 grains to make a pound. So 55 grains in weight. The 1911 that I'm carrying right now, I have 180 grains in it. And that's not even the heaviest round you can get for this. 180. So this rifle's much smaller. It goes much faster. It's 22 calibers. So 0.22 of an inch. Not quite a quarter inch at its thickest. And they don't weigh much. They're not that high power. An AK-47, that would shoot a 7.62 by 39. That means that it's a 30 caliber round. It's 0.308 of 1 inch. And they're running about 124 grains. So quite a bit heavier, going quite a bit slower than the 5.56 or the 0.223. My point being that these are not inherently very powerful rounds. So the anti-oh, they're designed to go through body armor. Actually, no, they're not designed to go through body armor. Body armor isn't designed to be held up to these things. There's no such thing as a bulletproof anything. There's just bullet resistance. A bulletproof vest. There's no such thing. There's a bullet-resistant vest. And, by the way, anti-gun politicians, I want you to understand, there are many levels of bulletproof, or rather bullet-resistant vests. Most cops go with just a regular level 2A, which is not a very heavy-duty round. It'll stop handgun rounds. It'll stop buckshot from a shotgun. And it ends there. If it's a really high-powered, heavy-duty handgun round, like from a handgun you might take out hunting or as a backup to hunting, or any rifle round really whatsoever, it's going to go through. Reason is, it's lighter weight, it breathes better, it's easier to wear on the street. It's easier to wear 8 to 10 hours a day on the street. Okay, that's why cops wear those. If they're going to be on a SWAT team and go in and do an interdiction or serve a high-risk warrant, they're going to be wearing something like a level 3 or a 3A or even possibly a level 4. Level 3 or 3A with ballistic inserts, they're going to wear that. The cop on the street is not going to wear that. It's the bad guys, not the guns, that are causing problems. All right? To take a gun which serves a specific look and say, okay, that is an assault weapon and that's a bad deal. That's like looking at a vehicle and say, wow, that vehicle can go 120 miles an hour. The highest speed limit in America is 85. So that thing shouldn't be allowed. Well, we still buy cars that go faster than 85. Matter of fact, every car I've ever owned can go over 85 miles an hour. Matter of fact, when I first started driving, the national speed limit was still 55. You think they sold cars that stopped at 55 or 60 miles an hour? The answer is no. So there's no law against what type of semi-automatic guns we can have, except that they've banned the import of certain guns. You know, I was talking with a colleague of mine, a guy that I highly respect, a guy that was actually my sniper instructor. He's been homaged in a couple of movies, in fact. And he and I had a discussion one time. I asked him, I said, if there was only one gun, one single individual gun that you could have, that's it, just one to choose from, what would it be? He said, a Galil. I said, really, a Galil? What is a Galil? He says, well, it's based on the Kalashnikov action, the AK-47 action. However, the Israelis, it's an Israeli gun, the Israelis took it, they made some improvements over the Kalashnikov action, and then they forged the receiver out of hardened steel, and they've chambered it in two or three different calibers. And that gun will run and run and run, better than an AK, way better than an AR-15 or an M-16. It will continue to run and run and run. Well, those things are really expensive in the U.S. because these semi-automatic guns were put on an import ban list. Now, there's, I think it's Vulcan Arms is making an American version of the Galil. But the actual Galil out of Israel, whatever's in this country is all you're going to get. You're not going to be able to get any more. It's on a ban list. It was profiled. Many guns are on the ban list under a profile. This ban list screws you and I. Do you really think that having these guns on this list have stopped any crime at all whatsoever? Well, the obvious answer is no. Bad guys are going to get whatever guns they can get. Oftentimes, they don't really care what they get. They just want a gun. And most bad guys are walking around with handguns. Those aren't on any import ban list, just rifles. When good people go bad, generally, they'll grab a handgun or a rifle. Not very often a shotgun. But there's shotguns on the bad list, on the ban list. They are profiled onto the ban list. How stupid is that? Career criminals don't carry around rifles. They're not portable and they're not concealable. When decent people flip, we talked about it on yesterday's show, when they just plain flip and they're out of their mind. They're going to grab what they can grab. And there's really not much any of us can do about that until we see them and we can take out our own guns and stop them. That's happened a few times in this country. Happened a couple years ago in Colorado with a lady in a church. A bad guy comes in to start shooting the place up. She pulls out, I believe it was a 9mm Beretta, and dumps this guy and puts him down. It happened at the nursing home a couple of months ago down south, where a single cop didn't want to wait for SWAT. He knew there was a problem. Went in there, charged in with his gun, young cop, and took out the bad guy and stopped the madness. Now imagine if a civilian had been armed in that area before the cop ever got there. Well, a lot more people would have lived. A kid in Tacoma, Washington, in a mall several years ago, starts shooting the place up. A guy had a concealed firearm, had carried it for years just in case something went bad. This kid is shooting with an AK-47, I believe it was, an SK, something like that. Something that would be considered an assault weapon. The good guy pulls out his handgun and says, son, you better put down that gun. What was the kid's response? He shot the guy up. Because the guy wasn't mentally prepared to engage. But he could have ended it right off the bat. That's why we need to be armed in this country, because there's bad guys. And they don't need to be bad guys with guns. They can be bad guys wielding bats, wielding knives, driving over people in vehicles. That is what being armed is all about. Stick around through the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
What I'd like to do is read through a piece here, clarifying the right to keep and bear arms. This missive should clarify the true purpose of the Second Amendment. In 1980, the Oregon Supreme Court ruled that there were three reasons for the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. One, as a deterrent against governmental oppression. Now, I like how that's number one. Two, to make the right of personal self-defense meaningful. And three, a preference for homegrown militia over a standing army. All excellent rulings. That's 1980, the Oregon Supreme Court. In Warren versus the District of Columbia in 1981, the District of Columbia Court of Appeals ruled that, quote, official police personnel and the government employing them are not generally liable to victims of criminal acts for failure to provide adequate police protection. This uniformly accepted rule rests upon the fundamental principle that a government and its agents are under no general duty to provide public services, such as police protection, to any particular citizen. A publicly maintained police force constitutes a basic governmental service provided to benefit the community at large by promoting public peace, safety, and good order. In Bauer versus DeVito in 1982, the Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit ruled there is not constitutional right to be protected by the state against being murdered by criminals or madmen. How about that? There is not constitutional right to be protected by the state against being murdered or criminals or madmen. So those of you who would like to sit back and have the government take care of you and have the government protect you, realize the courts have already ruled that that ain't going to happen. There's no provision for that. So if they're successful in taking away your ability and curbing your rights to protect yourself, there's no way that they're going to step up to the plate to try to protect you, because the court says, you know, they don't have to. According to the United States Supreme Court, no criminal can be compelled to register his or her guns because it violates their Fifth Amendment rights. How about that? With the above in mind, the following must logically follow. This is just common sense. If I refuse to obey a law that demands I, as an honest law-abiding citizen, register my guns, I automatically become a criminal that cannot be compelled to register my guns. Any legislator that attempts to limit my personal right to keep and bear arms, necessary for my personal defense and the defense of my community, is automatically guilty of the crime of aiding and abetting criminals or madmen or government oppression. Interesting, isn't it? So for those who would like to have mandatory registration of guns, really, this is what they're looking at. Once you register something with any government agency, essentially that registration, now it's theirs. You've registered it to them. If there's a corporation and they want to register the corporation to you as the director of this corporation, well, now you're responsible for it, whether you created this corporation or even operate it. You're responsible. So if you register your guns with a city, state, county, federally, whatever, it's now really theirs. Now, I have a suppressor, a Class 3 suppressor. Some people would refer to it as a silencer. And, in fact, there is really no such thing as a silencer. The term is a suppressor. It doesn't silence anything. It suppresses the noise. That's all it does. It just makes shooting quieter. It also, which is kind of cool, the baffles in there keep the gases from going out at the same rate as a bullet out of the muzzle. So there's less gas pressure on the back of the bullet, creating what's known as yaw, as the back of the bullet would wobble a bit. So it actually becomes a little bit more accurate. So if you're shooting like a bench rest competition or you're shooting a long range when you're hunting and you have a suppressor on your gun, you're going to hit more accurately. So it's a neat device. And really, the reason that that suppressors were initially developed were to keep from making so much noise when you're out hunting around other people's property. But I have to have that thing registered with Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, a government entity. So who really owns it? I paid for it, but who really owns it? The government. The government really owns that suppressor. Until I move to Montana after October, and I can go there and get one with their new law, heck, maybe I'll do that. I've always heard Montana's a great place. So the right to keep and bear arms includes not having to register your guns. It's inclusive. And in states such as Illinois, where you have to apply to get a firearms purchaser's owner's identification card, whatever the heck it really is, they require you to pay money and go through a process so that you can then exercise your Second Amendment right and buy a gun. However, in certain parts of the state, like in Cook County, where Chicago is, handguns are outright banned. They're still in violation of D.C. versus Heller. This is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show with these politicians. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio. Stick around through the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back. Okay, what is it about history that we all know to be true? Well, that it repeats itself. So if we look around and we see where gun control has taken effect, what happens to the crime rates? Now, well, hold on. Let me back up just a moment here, okay? The idea behind gun control is to have a safer society, correct? That's the idea of the anti-gunners, which are generally very liberal. Now, let's keep this in mind. Not all liberal people are gun control advocates, right? There are generally some party lines. So if you are a Democrat and you're in office, there's generally party lines that you will be expected to toe, such as it's widely considered that Democrats are the ones who want gun control. Now, the people who go after guns generally are Democrats. They're very, very rarely will you see somebody, and I don't want to say a conservative party. I'll say the Republican Party, because in my estimation, the Republican Party went left of center years ago, and they are not conservative. They're conservative in comparison to the Democrats, but they are not a conservative party by any means. Now, let's look at it. We have the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid of Nevada. Now, Harry Reid is not a big anti-gun guy. His voting record doesn't show huge anti-gun support. He himself is a hunter, an outdoorsman, and owns guns, and believes in the Second Amendment. So at least in the Senate, even though we're staring down the barrel of a filibuster-proof majority of Democrats in the Senate, we at least have Harry Reid and several other Democratic senators who are not anti-gun. They've been voting on some pro-gun bills. As a matter of fact, an interesting one that went through. You remember the whole thing where the Bush administration changed a policy to where you could carry handguns in national parks. They changed a policy. Then, about a month ago, an anti-gun group went to a federal judge, and the federal judge put a halt on that order. Said, no, we're not going to allow that because it doesn't look like the Bush administration went through all of the right hurdles. So we're going to end that. We're going to put a stay on that order. Of course, the Obama administration said, well, we're not going to fight it in court. Heck, why would we do that? We don't want people to have guns. So what happened now is bills were introduced into both houses of Congress, and one of them passed the Senate, 67 to 23 or 22, whatever it was, to allow it to carry guns in the park. So now we're overriding the courts with a law. We'll see what happens in the House. So there's not a bunch of huge anti-gun sentiment in the Senate at this point. There's also wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay? So the idea is take guns away and society will be safer. All right? Now, let's say I'm 6 foot five, 285 pounds, and I've got like 8% body fat. Now, that is not the description of me. But let's say that's my description. And I've just got a bad attitude. I know I'm bigger than the average person. I can use brute force to influence whatever it is I want to have against anyone else who's smaller than me. And by using this brute force, I get better and better at it. I'm just good at being big and bad and mean and getting what I want. Now, if I try to be big and bad and mean and get what I want from somebody who's, say, 5'6", 30 years older than me, kind of frail, but yet they pull out a gun, well, that's the great equalizer. That now puts the ball in their court, not in mine. Take the gun away from that person, and they're going to be my minced meat. So how does taking guns away out of a society make it safer? It's only safer when everybody in the entire society is a good person whose brain works properly. The chemicals in the brain are working just fine. And they have never had anything such as post-traumatic stress disorder, haven't ever had anything bad go on in their life, haven't been involved in a bad car accident or lost a parent in some tragic way or seen violence. Now, considering that violence is all over the television and movie screens, all over video games, I mean, you want to see a video game with violence, go get Grand Theft Auto, where you're stealing cars, shooting people, blowing stuff up, and terrorizing a city, right? Now, I'm not one who's really big on the idea of censorship. However, what I do have to say is people that are producing movies and video games such as this, you got to have some self-control. This sort of whatever it takes to make a buck and put ourselves out there to be creative and edgy sort of thing, I got to tell you, that really sucks. So when we have these things in society, but yet we want to take the guns away from the people. That means the people with the, kind of the warped sense of reality, the bigger, the badder, the organized group of bad people, well, they're going to rule. They're going to rule. Or the government is going to rule, which is all too often what happens. Now, in Jamaica, they took away guns. The government isn't ruling them, but the bad guys are. Murder capital of the Americas. In Mexico, one of the more corrupt countries in the Americas, took away the guns, allegedly, in 1968. Everybody still has them. Everybody in Mexico, for the most part, is a criminal because everybody has guns. Very few of them go by what the state says, the country says, the provisions for owning a gun are, which is you have to be a member of a gun range. You got to keep the gun at the range, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So all that stuff's out the window. So pretty much most of the people in Mexico are criminals simply because they own guns, and they're not going by the way that the law is written. And how's the violence level in Mexico going right now? Yeah, yeah, you got it. You got it. It's not going so good, guys. Now, if you arm a society, a sensible, reasonable society, what do you end up with? You end up with bad guys that are afraid to go after the average citizen. Now, if you arm an unreasonable society, an uneducated society, a society of lawlessness, all you're going to get is murder and mayhem. Pick a dozen different countries in the nation of Africa that don't have a strong education system, do not have a strong form of government, and are generally taken over by one dictator or another for whatever natural resources that country may have. Now, that is not the place to arm everybody because everybody's just going to go out and kill each other. In a reasonable, educated, known society, one where we've actually got some principles and some reasons, where would you get that? You'd get that from school. You'd get that from church. You'd get that from family. Maybe school shouldn't even be in there, considering some of the mayhem that's gone on, certainly at the university systems. But as you're being brought up, in these smaller community orientations, that's when you can arm an adult society and have peace. That's also where government stays at bay. Now, if the government's going to have all these high-end guns, police and military, right? I got to tell you one thing that absolutely just sickens me. It downright sickens me. My own father calls himself a conservative, but in fact, he's got so many liberal ideas in his head, it's ridiculous. And they've been coming on as he's gotten older. Somewhat of a limousine liberal, if you will, and in a lot of ways. And he told me years ago, the only people that should have guns are police and military. Private citizens, if they want to own guns, they should be limited to hunting rifles and hunting shotguns. The guns and ammunition should be stored at the police department. When they get their hunting permit, and they submit for when they want to go hunting, they can go to the police department and pick up their gun and pick up ammunition and then go out and hunt. When they're done, return it. I was absolutely dismayed that these words were coming out of my father's mouth, the guy that owned a couple of handguns at the time. Absolutely amazed. So, you know, why don't you go turn in your handguns or sell them? You know, he says, I'll do that when they take everybody else's guns away. Well, what kind of answer is that? What kind of absolutely hypocritical answer is that? So you mean to tell me that all the guns should be handled and possessed by police and military? Yep, that's right. Okay. So when a group of thugs comes in to your office and starts to just beat you senseless for that nice watch you're wearing or, you know, for the keys to your car that's sitting outside, that's going to be okay? You shouldn't be allowed to protect yourself from that. Also, the police are for. Well, I just read earlier what the courts had to say about that in the 80s. So, yet again, an ignorant argument, just kind of a world of paper mache that wouldn't stand up the second the wind blows even the slightest breeze, which is usually where you're going to find these sort of outlandish arguments. When enough of those people get into office and actually take the guns away, you're now at the mercy of the people who've prepared themselves to take control of you or anyone around you without a gun. or with a gun that they have illegally, because they don't care about the law. Again, look at Jamaica, murder capital of the Americas. More people get murdered in Jamaica per capita than any other country in the Americas. And they don't have any guns in their society, allegedly. They don't have any legal guns in their society except for police and military. And what happens? People are getting killed. People are getting killed a lot. Their government doesn't have very much money. Their government is completely mismanaged. And everybody's sitting around getting high. You know, I read something earlier this week that talked about, I think it was on MSN, could marijuana solve the tax crisis or whatever it was, something like that. Legalizing marijuana, having the government sell it, and let everybody sit around and get high. Well, I point you in the direction of the countries that do that. Jamaica's one of them. You get a bunch of people sitting around getting high. Now, I've never been to Jamaica, but a lot of people I know have been. And where they enjoy their stays is when they go to all-inclusive resorts. It essentially keeps a lot of people out and the people that pay in. So you're not really exposed to the society that is Jamaica. Bunch of people sitting around, not a bunch of work going on because they can grow their own ganja and smoke it. The people that actually want to get something done, well, they're criminals, right? The people that make money honestly generally work in the tourist area or in the agricultural area, helping out with said ganja. But what does Jamaica have as an export? Really nothing except illegal weed. Is that really the type of society that we want to flourish? You know, a friend of mine owns an import-export shop. In this import-export shop, he sells different things that could be used. He sells, like, hookah pipes, like, so you can put the little fruited hookah things in there. Well, people can take those, change some stuff out, and use it to smoke weed. And that's the majority of the people that actually buy the products from him. And you get people coming in, you know, adults driving in there in nice Cadillacs, Mercedes, things such as that, pulling up to his store and buying these things. Drugs in this country are out of whack. I got to tell you, I'm the only nearly 40-year-old person I know, with the exception of one, a buddy of mine who's actually a federal agent. I'm the only one of a couple of people that I know of that have never, ever, ever tried illegal drugs. I've never taken a hit off a joint. Certainly never shot smack, done a line of coke, you know, hookers and blow sort of thing. None of that. Never. Now, have I enjoyed a couple sips of alcohol here and there? Well, sure, but that's legal. So then comes the argument. Well, what about, you know, weed is more natural. Let's smoke pot. Yeah. Well, you know what else is natural is being able to smoke peyote. Okay, should we all be smoking peyote, a mind-altering drug? The Indians used to do it, yeah. Guys, look, there's a lot of things in society that can really screw us up. Taking away our guns in an educated society such as we have is one of them. That's where we are going to go down in flames with violence. The cops don't have to protect us. Now, a lot of cops will stand up and actually do the right thing. That's why they get into the police department. They're also oftentimes the ones that get ridiculed by these social workers with badges and guns that wouldn't carry a gun if they didn't have to. The ones that generally run most police departments, the social wing of law enforcement, who are, again, under absolutely no obligation to provide us any sort of protection whatsoever as individuals. As a whole, yeah, they're supposed to be around to help deter crime. Does it work very often? Not really. What are criminals mainly afraid of? Listen to the interviews. I've played them on this show a few times. They're afraid of you, a citizen with a gun. That's what they're afraid of. Okay, that is what they're afraid of. You, a citizen with a gun. All right? So, if you take the guns away, the bad guys, the criminals, the malcontents are going to take control of society. We're not going to be able to get rid of the guns and hire enough cops and get the courts to change it to where they actually should be providing us protection. not everybody can be a cop. That's why the Second Amendment is around. The Second Amendment is around so that we don't have to tolerate being the victim of someone else. We can keep the guns to protect ourselves from bad guys right now, or the government if it gets too big and out of whack. That's what the Second Amendment is all about. It's a right, and you can choose whether or not to exercise it. I've chosen to exercise it. I'm sitting here with a 1911 on my hip right now as I'm doing this live radio broadcast to you, my just wonderful listeners. That is what I am doing, exercising my right. Everybody doesn't have to do that. You don't have to carry a gun. It's fine. It's okay. But don't push your anti-gun beliefs on me. Don't push your religious beliefs on me. Don't push your, I guess, freedom of speech on me. If I want to exercise it, I will. If I don't, I won't. That's the way these rights work. I'm going to bring you up with a little bit of food for thought in the final segment coming up after the last break. And I'm going to ask you to think about it a little bit and let me know what went on in your family this weekend. Shoot me off an email maybe on Sunday or Monday and let me know how this food for thought that's coming up after the next break goes for you. Stick around.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, welcome back. What I would like everyone to do this weekend is sit down. Sit down with your family or sit down with thoughts of your family and decide for yourself if the way that you've seen this country move within the last 2 to 3 decades, if that's the same direction you'd like it to continue moving for yourself and your family. If the answer is no, then it's time to stand up. It's time to get up and organize. It's time for Tea Party 2.0. And to assemble together with like-minded people who are also unhappy with the way that the government is and the direction it's going. Long ago, the government forgot that they were the servants and that we were the masters. It has now come to the point where our servants have demanded that we answer to them. That should be no longer. It is long overdue time for we the people to take back control over our servant government, to secure our liberties and our freedoms. If there's anyone who represents you on Capitol Hill or in your state government that has a voting record against your rights, you must decide now whether or not you want your rights infringed upon or secured and upheld. If any of your representatives at the state or national level have taken it upon themselves to try to curb your freedom of speech, your liberties, your freedom of movement, your freedom of religion, your freedom or right to keep and bear arms, then that person is obviously misguided and un-American. They should not be representing anyone within the United States. If they held up their hand and they swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and in fact, then they go in on a voting spree to do quite the opposite, that is not the type of representation we want to have. Thomas Jefferson once said, "Democracy is 2 wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for dinner. Liberty is the sheep being allowed to be armed." If that's not the way that we're looking at the world right now, with the administration that is in the office, as well as the Congress which has been formed, then there at no other time up to this point in the history of the United States should we have been so afraid of what's actually going on. If you are not in fear for your liberties or for the future of your family to be free, to be true, to be armed, then I am sorry, folks. I am quite sorry that you have not been able to wake up and smell the coffee. It's time for America to take this government back from the tyranny it's been creating. Thank you for spending your day with me today. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subject of government
tomorrow.
Have a wonderful weekend.
The Two-Way Radio Show. 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.